Wakefield Real Estate. Oh, hi, David. No, no, Kate's not in yet. Oh, come in, Mr. Slater. Sorry, lover boy, but your boss just walked in. Yeah. Uh-huh, I'll tell Kate you called. Bye now.
Hello, Pat.
Well, this is an honor. Can I sell you a house?
You could if I needed one. As a widower, I'm satisfied with my digs.
Digs?
Old English for habitat.
Oh.
In meaning place where I reside.
You certainly don't talk like the guys I know.
Well, I'm handicapped, I admit. Is Kate in?
Not yet.
Good.
You came to see me?
I certainly did, and you're well worth it. You look charming.
Oh, boy. I hope you never learn to talk like the guys I know. Coffee?
No, Angie does very well for me. This is a very pleasant office you and Kate have made.
Thanks.
I suppose you'll be closing it now.
Mr. Slater, I'm so mixed up.
Hmm?
I'm so happy Kate's got this city job. She's been boxed up too long, but...
But what?
I'm going to miss her. Besides, well, it's sort of sentimental. I hate to see the Wakefield office close.
Well, could you carry on here with the baby coming?
I could if I had someone with me.
Well, let's talk about it later.
All right.
Now, I have a confidential question to ask you. Have there been any calls for Kate lately from a man who didn't leave his name?
Two, now that I think of it.
When?
Well, one early in the week, the day when she went out to the youth center.
Mm-hmm.
And the other yesterday, while she was in town.
Did you tell her?
To be honest, if a person doesn't leave his name, I don't bother.
No reason to. What do you sound like?
Oh, you know, sort of classy.
Mm-hmm.
As if you could buy a big house. And yet, you know, not quite. It's hard to say.
If he calls again, Pat, give him my name and telephone number. And tell me, will you? Not Kate.
Love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from 2 personal formulas. Shampoo formula, our conditioning formula, is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Well, aren't we soft this morning? Have a nice evening, David.
Yes, thanks. Did you, Fay?
Lovely. I was down getting those tax figures. You took off before 5.
That's right.
With your bleeding heart. I heard she was back.
My veins bleed cracked ice.
Sometimes I think they do. Want coffee?
I've had it, thanks. How late did the boss stay around last night?
He was still in his office when I left. That was 8:30.
Got something on his mind. He sent me out early. He wanted to make like an editor.
He owns the paper. He's still the best editor I ever knew. I'll say that about you too, Davy, when you own the paper.
That'll be the day.
Henry's practically setting it up for you, if you want it. And don't blow it. It's all right here.
Oh, I want it, Faye. I guess you're the only person in the world who knows how much.
When is Kate starting her new job?
You know about that?
I'm a good reporter. I met Isabel and asked her. She doesn't like me, but she did tell me.
Hey, you ought to get over this idea of people not liking you.
Well, she was certainly furious the night I went to see Arthur Wakefield before he died.
But you never ran the story he gave you. Isabel and Kate both appreciated that.
Maybe. Maybe I just went dumb in the head that day.
Morning, David.
Oh, morning, Harry.
Morning, Faye.
Morning, Chief.
Faye, I'd like to see you a little later. David, will you come to my office now?
Right. Faye says that you're a great editor.
I'm learning. If I hang around long enough, I may even become a good cub reporter.
You could run this paper single-handed.
No, but you and Faye could. Say, you saw Kate last evening, I suppose?
Yes, for a little while.
I'm going to ask you an odd question. Did she get any phone calls while you were there?
Yes, there was one.
Did she mention who it was?
No, it was very quick. She answered and Isabel answered at the same time upstairs and the guy hung up.
It was the man.
Well, that's what she said. What's all this about, Harry?
My guess is that it was the man who's been calling her. And he'll call again.
What man?
Stephen Wolfe. You remember him?
Oh, sure. He was the lawyer who got Tom Wakefield off after the accident. He's a crook.
Mm.
He was finally disbarred. Well, what's he after now?
I'm not sure.
I understood Arthur paid him a whopping fee.
I know he did. But when he got Tom off, he got a hold on the Wakefields. He's not going to let go. I know he made several attempts to see Arthur before he died. Now he's after Kate.
Do you know where he lives?
He dropped out of sight for a little while. I traced him as far as Chicago. Then lost him until these calls began.
Well, he's not very far away, then.
I think he's here in Belhaven. And as long as Kate stays here, we'll have a chance of getting to him. If she goes into town, we may lose him.
Does she know him?
No, I don't think she has any idea who he is. Arthur kept that away from her. But she'd be very vulnerable to a man who helped Tom.
Well, not if she knew he was a crook. My God, Henry, I don't want to see her dragged through all that.
Could be a lot more serious than that.
What do you want me to do?
One of us has to persuade her to stay around for a little while.
Well, that's going to be tough.
Do what you can, David. And do it soon.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor kid.
5 minutes, Claude.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is startled.
Oh.
Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with FinalNet. FinalNet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. FinalNet holds up longer than you do.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
In the coffee shop the rest of the night.
I love it, Tammy.
So who needs real estate?
You take the other egg roll, please, Kate.
Wait till your baby arrives. We'll start at the top and go right through this Chinese menu.
I get weak just thinking about it. Oh, I bet you were good in that coffee shop.
Oh, it was great. 5 a.m, full of kids from the cabin.
Uh-huh.
I burned the bacon once. And I dropped a plate of fried eggs, and a couple of kids came around and helped me mop up.
Oh, you're going to do fine in that city, Kate.
I hope so.
Oh, Pat, we should talk about the office.
Oh, we can do that tomorrow. I want to hear more about the job.
Well, there's only one thing about it that bothers me.
Hmm, what?
The man I'm going to work for, Al Ross.
What's the matter, Frank?
No. I just don't like him. He acted as if he were hiring me as a favor.
Well, some of them talk like that to put you on the defensive.
Oh, not a favor to me, a favor to Tony Cushing. Tony set up the appointment for me.
So what? We all need a break once in a while.
Yes, but...
Get with it, Kate. You've been spinning too long in this tight little, right little town. The world's different.
How did you learn so much, Pat?
By being on my own.
something every girl ought to try. This going straight from school into marriage, it can smother you.
I know, I did it.
And did you pay for it?
Well, no.
But you're getting your chance now, Kate. I say go in and do a damn good job and ignore everything else.
Tony's a little hard to ignore.
You know, you're going to have to be a little tougher, Kate, or people are going to spoil things for you.
No, I want this job more than anything I've wanted in a long time, and I'm not letting anybody spoil it.
Right on, sister. Hey, look who's coming in.
Oh.
I'll run along.
No, don't. Oh, that's silly,
He's
Kat.
He's been calling you all morning. Wait till he sees me. I'll be the biggest fifth wheel that ever rolled off a wagon.
Oh, come on.
Hi, David.
Hi, Pat. Hello, Kate.
Hi.
I was just running along. Better have a real lunch, you two. We've been eating bird seed. Bye now.
Oh, wait, Pat.
Bye.
She's so silly. But I love her.
Yeah, so do I. Can I sit down?
Oh, sure. David, I'm sorry I missed your calls. I've been doing a million things.
I know. Kate.
What is it, David? You look so serious.
I could try to be subtle or indirect, but you're not the girl for that.
If you want to say something, David, just say it. As long as it's not about my new job.
It is, in a way.
Oh, David, we've been over that.
Okay, I'll lay it on the table, flat. Henry and I both think you should postpone it.
Postpone it? Why?
It has to do with Tom.
Of Love has been brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrill. I compared labels. Daytrill has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrill can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrill, new from Bristol-Myers.
Every woman likes to know she's the best she can be, so take a little time out for yourself, your looks, and especially for great-looking hair. Great-looking hair comes easily with Natural Wear Miss Clairol Hair Color. Choose from two personal formulas. Shampoo formula or conditioning formula is the easy way to get fresh, young color. Extra-rich cream formula is the one hairdressers use, because no laboratory today has found a better way to cover gray. Shampoo formula or cream formula, try Natural Wear Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Oh, lady, I all but failed to keep our appointment. My coachman could scarcely thread his way through the glut of coaches on Threadneedle Street. Let's see if I can settle my brains to know where our story... Oh, yes. Your author promises today you shall have the answer to my query of yesterday. Has Rebecca met her match in Sir Pitt's eldest son? Recall, I implore you, his resentment of her before they even meet. The accusation flung at his father.
2 centuries past, a queen honored this house with her presence. Now, sir, you dishonor it with the presence of a governess in the queen's bedchamber. You have insulted a queen.
How prudent of our Becky to have gathered certain foreknowledge of young Pitt, and before entering the library to meet him, rehearsed what she knew.
I must hold fast to what this paragon likes and fawns upon. Fancies himself a scholar, contemptuous of anyone less learned, dotes on quoting passages from literary sources, writes tiresome pamphlets, regards the Queen's bedchamber as a shrine, is a pious man of rigid morals. Now, what else? What more? Oh, la! I've no catalogue of all his crotchets, but I've enough to chance what is to come.
With admirable skill, Miss Sharp has dismissed Sir Pitt, and now, with most modest mien, faces his son.
I thank you, sir, for according me the privilege of speaking with you.
Speak then, Mr. Short. I am unaware of what we've to say to one another.
It's of the Queen's bedchamber I must speak.
Indeed.
Sir, I am in deep distress that I should be placed in so hallowed a room. It is not right, sir, not fitting.
You should have voiced the same to my father.
Oh, but I did. I confess it was of short duration, for he cut me off. Sir Pitt is my employer, sir. I must obey his wishes, but pray believe that I am much distressed.
You have spoken well.
May I speak further, sir? Or do I interrupt your scholarly pursuit?
You interrupt, but you may speak.
Sir, I prize books above all else. My passion is so strong, I am emboldened to beg you will allow me sometimes to come here to learn in this room of knowledge.
I shall consider your request.
Oh, thank you, sir. If I may quote from The Merchant of Venice, an unlessoned girl, unschooled, unpracticed, happy in this, she is not yet so old, but she may learn.
You know Shakespeare?
Oh, very well. At Miss Pinkerton's school, I studied him more than ever was required.
Is there anything else you wish to discuss?
Yes. I do so want to ask about the Crawley coat of arms. It bears a serpent and a dove.
It does.
Do they represent the verse in the Bible, "Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves"?
Now, schooled in the Bible as well as Shakespeare.
Oh, indeed, sir. I learn a verse each day. This morning I chose, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction."
A warning you are well advised to remember at all times, Miss Short. You are correct as to the meaning of serpent and a dove upon the Crawley arms.
Thank you, sir. Oh, now I've imposed on your good offices long enough.
Yes. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. By great good fortune, I see lying here, written by you, sir.
My pamphlet on malt for the Kushimabu Society.
Malt? Oh, my, what a fascinating subject. I cannot prevent myself from boldly asking if I may read it.
Granted.
I may take it with me?
You may. Return it when finished. Good afternoon.
What think you, ladies? Did our clever Becky thaw young Pitt? Has he taken a liking to her? Hardly. He is not capable of liking or of thawing. But she has, a little, cracked his ice. Has returned to her vast vaulting room where Giles waits with a message.
You ought to go to the schoolroom, Mace. The young ladies are there.
At last I meet my pupils. I began to think they'd fallen in the well or run off to the woods to avoid their new governess.
Oh, it's they run wild, Miss Becky. Forever at the stables or the kennels or with a gardener plucking grapes, of which he don't hardly allow them to eat one.
Why ever not?
Sir Pitt has all of them counted.
What nonsense.
The servants say it, ma'am. It's a way to say how stingy he is.
Miss Tinker told me of his stinginess, but he has many servants.
Oh, he's a stickler for showing he's a baronet.
And dresses himself like a beggar?
Not when there's visitors, miss. And you'll see a table of silver and gold plates is used, and 5 footmen in canary coats to serve. Oh, to be sure, he'll dine off boiled mutton, not spend a shilling for fine food, won't allow extra candles. But gold and silver and footmen he'll have. Oh, he's a queer one, right enough. Oh, and what are the other queer ones, miss? You've not said a word of how it was with her ladyship and Mr. Crawley.
Lady Crawley is a poor, dim ghost, and young Pitt is a poor, dull stick. And I was as wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Now I must fly to the schoolroom and meet my charges.
Bates. He's there.
And I'm Miss Sharp.
She's out on King.
Can you say good afternoon, Miss Sharp, and drop a curtsy?
Do we ask you?
Yes, Miss Violet. I'm here to teach you manners as well as lessons.
Good afternoon, Miss Sharp.
Well done. Miss Rose?
She won't.
Of course she will. She must.
It's merely so curtsy. Curtsy, Rose. Curtsy.
Ah, there. Oh, very nice.
But you must say what you should say. She don't talk.
Miss Rose can't talk.
Can, won't.
Not ever.
To me, when no one's about. Sometimes to a groom when she wants a pony. She rather point. Points to the saddle. Points to the pony. He knows.
Miss Rose, surely you'll talk to your governess, for how can we learn lessons if you don't?
She don't like lessons.
I not only teach lessons, but how to like them. Miss Rose, won't you speak to me? Oh, I'll be most sad if you don't. Please, dear?
She don't know you. She don't never talk to a body she don't know.
What is she pointing to?
The door.
Oh, she wants me to leave.
No, she don't. See, Miss Sharp? She sticks out her finger at me now. If I go, it's maybe she'll talk to, and it's maybe she'll not.
Then go, Miss Violet. Please go. I'll summon you back in a few minutes.
Yes, ma'am. Though I don't expect she will.
There now, Miss Rose. We're all alone, and they have a nice talk. Will you tell me your name? Then tell me mine. Miss Becky. Can you say that? Would you like me to read you a story? About princesses and princesses? About rabbits, bears, and elephants? Lady Crawley talked to me, young Pip talked to me, but not an 8-year-old little Muppet. You did. Oh, but what did you say? Take your hand away from your mouth, dear, and please say it again. No? No.
Tis the happy privilege of youth to confound their elders. Becky Sharp has met her match in the person of a thin, pale little moppet named Rose. Ladies, more thorns await Becky when next we meet. Your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life, brought to you by the O-Cedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to. I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an O-Cedar Angler Broom would get it.
Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O'Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O'Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. O'Cedar makes your life easier.
It's been wonderful having you, Phyllis and Bill.
It certainly has.
It's been wonderful to be here.
Yeah, it sure has. Now, come on, Phyllis, get in the car.
You know, I'm quite sure that when we just dropped in to say hello, that you never guessed we'd stay on for 2 days.
Oh, listen, now, we have loved every minute of it, haven't
Goodbye,
we?
Goodbye, Bill. Oh. And listen, now, if you two ever get to Wisconsin and don't call us...
Oh, we will. We certainly will.
Now, I'm going to say this again, Phyllis. Are you sure you have everything?
Yes, dear. Now, there are our two big bags, my overnight case.
Well, whenever we go anywhere, I'm always leaving my nightgown in the back of the bathroom doors. I've lost more nighties that way.
Oh, me too, but I didn't this time. I checked everything. And I'll tell you something else. I hate people who leave things at my house. So if I left anything, just burn it.
All right, we will, Phyllis. Okay.
Now, you have our address.
Yes.
Enjoy the rest of your trip. I'll probably see you, Bill, at the next convention.
Right.
Are you going to the next convention?
Oh, I don't know if I am. I've sort of had my fill of business conventions.
Oh, me too. But if you go, I'll go. Let me know.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, now, have we said all the goodbyes?
Yes.
Oh, and a million thanks.
Go on. Bye.
Bye.
Drive carefully now. Bye-bye.
Bye. I am so exhausted.
I should think you would be.
Oh, all right, don't say anything. I know I kept insisting they stay. I never dreamt they'd take me up on it like
that. I know. Made a lot of work for you, too.
Well, I really do think just once she might have offered to help with dishes.
She didn't even offer?
No. Oh, a couple of times she'd say, "Now I want to help you." She never did. Oh, she set the table once. Oh, yes, she did. She did dry the dishes last night.
I thought they said they were going to take us out to dinner last night. What happened to that invitation?
I don't know. They didn't mention it again, so I just took some chicken out of the freezer.
Well, you're very nice to them, and I do thank you.
Thank me? What for?
Well, it's sort of my fault they were here. We met them at my business convention. It isn't as though they were old and dear friends of either of us. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It's over and done with. Of course, since she wiped dishes last night, I can't find anything. I don't know where she put my good paring knife.
Mother used to complain about that every time the family came for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mother kept saying, "Where could Florence have possibly put the egg beater?"
I know what she means. And I know where my beater is, but I couldn't find the cover to my small saucepan. I don't know where Phyllis put that. I said, "I'll put things away, Phyllis," but she said, No. She said, "I'll find where they go." Well, it's 5 a.m. You want to lie down before you go to work?
I don't know. Well, come on. Let's get back in the house. Yeah. Huh? Come on. Don't let the flies in.
I don't think even the flies get up this early, do they?
I don't know when flies get up.
Oh, yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, what's what?
That.
Oh, her dress bag. Oh, no. All her clothes. They're going on to New York, Washington, Williamsburg, Florida.
Great.
Oh,
and
my
she heaven. Drove off in shorts.
Shorts? She did. What'll we do?
I'm what not going to do anything except shave and shower and try to stay awake the rest of the day.
Oh, honey, all her clothes, her dresses
How
are in there.
How could she have left it? Bill asked her if she had everything.
I remember now. She had washed out two dresses, but she wanted to hang them in the dress bag. And she left the dress bag here in the living room for Bill to close and take out to the car. Oh, honey. She has got a week left of their trip and no clothes, no decent clothes.
Oh, well, they'll discover it and have to come back, I guess.
No, they were planning to drive 8 hours before they stop. They will not turn around and come back. We'll have to mail it to them. But where? I don't even know where they're stopping, do you?
She'll phone you tonight.
You can't mail a dress bag anywhere and expect it to get to her so she has it for the rest of the trip.
Well,
what?
Do what she said.
What was that?
She said she hated house guests who left things that had to be mailed on, and if she left anything, burn it.
Oh, yeah. I knew where she was going to be. I'd send her a telegram. Took your advice, burned everything.
Yeah.
Well, she won't be in a mood to find that very amusing. You shower and shave. I'll find her home address and call there and see if her mother or her daughter know where they're staying anywhere. And you may have to take the dress bag with you to town, dear, and find the express office.
Now, wait a minute. I got a busy day ahead of me at the office.
Phyllis has no clothes. Now, something has to be done.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. But then I learned about new Daytrile. I compared labels. Daytrile has no aspirin either. Both have the same pain reliever, same effectiveness. But compare prices. Daytrile can cost less. So shop for the best prices and save money.
Daytrile, new from Bristol-Myers.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Your mother and father were just visiting us here, and they drove off, leaving your mother's dress bag, so she has no clothes. She went off in her shorts because it was going to be a hot day, and they have no air conditioning in the car.
Find out if the kid knows the license number of the car.
Do you know the license number of their car? I see. Well, do you have their itinerary? Where they're staying in New York or in Washington? You don't. Well, Mrs. Baxter. No, that's my name, too. Yes, I know. That's how we got acquainted.
Don't go into all that. It's long distance.
We met at a business convention 5 years ago in Montreal, Canada. Yes.
Well,
now,
why are you going into all that?
If your mother calls home, we have her dress bag. All right? Fine. All right. How's the weather out there in Wisconsin?
Oh, for Pete's sake.
No, it's not raining here. Well, thank you. Goodbye. Now,
what do you care what the weather's like in Wisconsin?
My aunt lives in Wisconsin.
So?
I don't know why I asked. I suppose because every time Aunt Grace writes me, I get 2 pages about the weather.
Well, what other pertinent information did you get?
Nothing. The daughter sounded about 12, and her grandmother's gone to the store, but she doesn't think the grandmother knows where Phyllis and Bill are staying anyhow, so...
Well, if they were going to New York next, she certainly didn't plan to waltz into the lobby of a hotel in shorts.
No, they're planning to stay in a motel on the outskirts, leave the car there, and go into New York by subway or something. Bill doesn't want to drive in New York. Why'd you want the license number of their car?
Well, I thought maybe we could contact the state police before they got too far.
Oh, yes. You didn't write it down?
No. No, I'm not in the habit of taking down the license numbers of my house guests.
Why are you acting this way, honey?
Now, look. I've had 3 days of putting up with two of the most boring, most tiresome people I've ever known in my life and feeding them.
Well, honey, at least you went to the office yesterday. I had them all day to entertain.
Oh, yeah. I meant to ask you what you did with him. He kept us up so late last night, I collapsed into bed. Was it around 2:30?
Closer to 3.
Oh.
We've had about 2 hours sleep, you know. Well, I showed them the new library in town, the museum, the park. Finally, in desperation, I showed them the new sewage disposal plant.
You didn't.
Yes, I did. I was feeling kind of mean, too, until I discovered he loved it. I got all the details on what they're doing with their sewage disposal plant in Wisconsin. 82.5% of the effluent.
Forget it.
She discovered she left her dress bag. Get it? Hurry up, get it. You're closer, dear.
Yeah. Hello.
Is that her?
Yes.
Is that her?
Yes. We know. We were going to send you a telegram if we'd known where you were staying.
We took your advice, burned everything.
We took your advice and burned everything. Huh?
Where are they?
Just a second. I'll put you on to the little woman. Here.
Don't tell me. Please just don't tell me they're coming back.
Take it.
Hello? Hi, Phyllis. I know. Well, we've been going wild trying to figure out... How'd you discover it?
How did they find out?
Uh-huh. Hold on, Phil. Looking for their thermos bottle, which they also left behind. Well, what should we do about the dress bag? Well, I mean, we didn't know how to mail it to you, so you'd get it when you need it. Well, I see. Well, I don't see what else you can do with no clothes.
Don't tell me they're coming back.
I know. It's a hot day already. No wonder Bill's hot and tired. But, Phyllis, when will you get here? Because we're going away for the weekend.
We are?
No, no. We'll wait until you get here. No, no. We'll wait. Well, I'll just call and explain to the people who are expecting us why we're late getting to their cottage. All right, Phyllis. Goodbye. I lied.
Congratulations.
I feel awful. I was brought up not to lie.
There are times, dear, when it is necessary, and you did very well.
Did I? I'm glad you think so, because now we have to start packing and have some suitcases standing out and pretend we're in a hurry to leave. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive, hmm?
Wordsworth.
Sir Walter Scott. And we can argue about that while we're packing.
The Little Things in Life has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. The following is a paid dramatization.
Hi, I'm the teacher, and that's Roland Gibbs on drums. He drew my picture last week with gray hair. Me, with 11 grays. I gave hair coloring a second thought. I found out about Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, doesn't change my natural color, and it's good for my hair. Loving Care covered my grays and made my hair softer and shinier. Gotta give the kid credit.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair. The programs of the Radio Playhouse have returned dramatic stories to daytime radio, and we'd like to know how our listeners feel about this new series, for after all, they're meant for your enjoyment. Won't you tell us your reaction, what you like and what you don't? Whether you think daytime drama is a good idea or not? Should there be more of it in the future? Write us at To Have and To Hold, 345 Park Avenue, New York, New York, 10022, or your local station. Your letters are our best way of knowing what you like.
Do you think you could help me with the glass of water, Angela?
Oh, sure.
But I just can't risk sitting up.
How does your head feel, Em?
Oh, well, if I stay completely horizontal, it won't roll off on the floor, I think. Here you go. Mm. Oh, thanks. That's enough for now.
Okay.
Oh, it's not so bad.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Jason and Marsh warned me there'd be throbs like this, and they were right.
Oh.
Whew. Well, how are the children?
Oh, Bobby's home now since his counseling of the day camp is over.
Oh, how are you making out with Susie?
Well, I'm not quite sure that Susie approves of me. I made the gross mistake of saying how much I loved the first cashmere sweater I ever had, and Susie said, "You wore cashmere?"
Well, where does the disapproval come in?
Well, Danny, she just bought her first one, and I think she heard they existed before, and she's sure I'm making mine up.
Oh, Angela. Don't make me laugh. It rocks the boat.
Oh, aren't kids marvelous? Everything's brand new for them. They never can believe their parents were young.
Bobby's the same way. He and Jason were talking about college the other night. And when Jason said something about hitting the books, I thought Bobby was going to choke. And then when Jason explained it just meant studying, Bobby just kept saying, "You're too much, Dad. You're just too much."
And Jennifer?
Now, that little darling still thinks grown-ups are superior beings. And I'll tell you, I'm going to make the most of it while it lasts.
Oh, yes, Angela. That's the secret. Love it while it lasts.
take that.
Susie, you don't have to be so vicious about it. You crack the ball.
I guess tennis has improved my ping pong.
And you're quite a competitor.
I like to win. Let's get a soda.
There's some over here in the little fridge, I think.
Oh, thanks. Oh, what a game. Want another game?
Not now. I have to go over the list of stuff I'm packing. I want to get it all done before Mom gets home, so she won't have to think about it.
I'll bet Harvard doesn't want to think about it either.
I told Dad I ought to think about making a change because of Mom's being sick. But he insisted I go ahead as we planned.
Well, why?
Well, he thought she might misunderstand if I changed my plans.
Misunderstand what?
She might think that she's sicker than she really is.
I wonder what's the matter with her.
Dad says Dr. Foster hasn't found anything yet.
Well, maybe they do know something.
Oh, come on. Dad would tell us.
Well, he's been looking awfully worried lately. And you know, when we come into the room, he and Aunt Angela sort of look funny.
It might be something else.
What?
Oh, I don't know. That's just it. We don't know.
I thought you were in here, so I came down around to the side entrance.
Come on in, Bets.
Anybody for ping pong?
Susie cracked the last ball.
Hey, I like your wedgies. Nope.
Yeah, 3 inches.
How are you going to play ping pong in those things?
Why not?
Well, that's what I call a handicap.
You're just sore because I'm taller than you.
Yeah, sure. Hey, I got to go pick up Jennifer at dance class. Do we need anything at the store?
Well, you could get some milk, will you? Aunt Angela forgot to increase the order now that you're home all day.
Okay. I'll see you kids later.
Kids? What does he think he is? Marcus Welby?
What do you want to do?
I don't know. I can't stay long. I shouldn't even be here.
Well, how come?
Oh, Mom, you know. She doesn't think I should be hanging around here while your mother's in the hospital.
Why not?
It's because of your aunt.
Well, what about her?
Mom thinks Dad likes her too much. Mom's always sure Dad's making out with some nurse. She's always yelling at him.
But not Aunt Angela.
I didn't think they were that crazy about her.
Well, she's okay. But Jennifer's the one she really likes.
I kind of like her. She's kind of cool, you know? She never gets mad, and she's always nice. Always the same.
What does your father say?
What can he? He says it's not true. When Mom says if that's true, why isn't he at home more often?
But he's a doctor.
That's what he tells her and tells her and tells her. I don't think I'm ever going to get married. And you see the way they dump on each other.
I'm sorry, Betsy.
What about?
Oh, well, the way it is for you. I mean at home.
I'm used to it. They tried to be quiet before when I was around, but now they let it all hang out. Mom's always threatening to leave, but I don't think she means it. Well, I don't want to talk about it. Hey, it's Mom.
I've been looking all over for you, Betsy. Today. I want to go out and the carpet men are coming to deliver the new carpet.
All right, Mom.
How are you, Susie?
Oh, I'm fine, Mrs. Foster.
Is your Aunt Angela home yet?
Oh, no, she's still at the hospital.
Why, I thought she was staying with you while your mother was sick.
Mom's not sick. She's just having some tests.
Oh, of course. Betsy, I do think you'd better go on home. I'd hate to have those carpet men take back those new rugs.
Okay, Mom. I'll see you later, Susie.
Sure, fine.
Susie, I don't think Betsy should be spending so much time here while your mother's gone. I know how she feels about that.
Oh, it's all right, Mrs. Foster. My aunt is here most of the time.
When does she get home?
Oh, different times.
Oh, you fixed up the basement very nicely. That's cypress paneling, isn't it?
Oh, I guess so.
Very tasteful. Did your mother do it?
Mom? Oh, no, she got Mr. Felcher, the carpenter, to do it.
I mean, did she have a decorator, or did she do it herself?
Gee, I don't know. I guess she just picked out what she liked.
Anybody home?
Oh, there she is.
Oh, yes, I guess so.
Tell her where you are, dear.
Down here, Aunt Angela.
Hello, Susie.
And Mrs. Foster. We were wondering when you'd get home. Did my husband drop you off?
No, I drove myself. Oh, Susie, will you get the second bag of groceries out of the car and then put everything away?
Sure.
And I brought in some frozen stuff that should get into the freezer right away, okay?
Oh, well, sure, Aunt Angela. How's my mom?
Fine. And she'll be home in a day or two. We better plan a nice homecoming dinner, don't you think?
Mm.
What's the matter with Mrs. Carter?
I'll get the groceries.
Oh. Emily's just having some tests. She's had some bad headaches lately.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. I thought it was something serious.
I beg your pardon?
I mean, I'm sorry she isn't feeling well. Marsh led me to believe that she has something funny wrong with her.
Dr. Foster said that?
Oh, no. No, of course not. He never discusses his patients with me, but of course, I knew he was worried about her.
I see.
I'm sure you wouldn't want to worry her.
No, of course I wouldn't.
Then I think you should be a little more careful.
Look, Mrs. Foster, if I knew what you meant, I might agree with you, but
I think you're spending too much time with my husband.
I see your husband every day at the hospital where we both work.
And the other night when he was here?
This happens to be my sister's home, and her husband also works with Dr. Foster.
I know that hospitals have got to be places, and if you don't want to be talked about, I...
There is nothing for anyone to talk about, Mrs. Foster.
You can say that as much as you want. It doesn't make it true.
Look, Mrs. Foster, you scarcely know me, but surely you do know your own husband. Why are you so willing to believe something like this of him?
Maybe it's because I know him.
I really don't know what I can say to you. You just seem to want to believe the worst of your husband.
I know him a lot better than you do.
But you don't know me, Mrs. Foster, and I would...
I'm sorry. I don't want Marsh to do something foolish. Doctors have to be very careful, don't they?
Brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.